Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What happened to the Israelites? They went to the promised land. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And all the Israelites said, yes. And there arose another generation that did not know the Lord.
The truth is, no addiction is stronger than God's redemption. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Redemption, about God's power to renew every life, and that means yours too. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Redemption.
People ask, when did you start preaching without notes? Unless I read something on a card or something on one of the screens, I preach without notes. I associate how great thou art with that style in which I developed. I was in college preaching revival in Belzona, Mississippi, the heart of the Delta, youth revival. Sunday night, packed with kids. I had voluminous notes, young preacher, well prepared. But when the part about how great thou art said, when the thunders rolled, lightning hit the transformer that controlled all the power in that little city and knocked every light out. I was sitting on the platform with all of my notes saying, Lord, what in the world am I to do? And he said, just tell them about Jesus. So in total darkness, I stood up and preached on Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So I associate how great thou art with that style in which I develop. People think I have teleprompters down here, and you get that on the screen, the same thing that I get. And so when you forget, you keep talking till you remember. It's not very hard to understand. We are wrapped up with superheroes. When I was a boy, I went to the movie almost every Saturday. It cost a dime. Can you believe that? And I watched Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and they had a cowboy there, most you never heard of, Whip LaRue. Anybody ever heard of Whip LaRue? I mean, this is a special group. Whip LaRue had that whip, and he was a cowboy, and he would shoot them or whip the gun out of their hands. And so I made me a whip. I worked for weeks trying to be like Whip LaRue, some superhero. And Superman came out and Captain Marvel came out and Batman and Robin. And they keep coming out all these years. We like superheroes. And perhaps the one that stands out most in the secular world would be 007, James Bond, License to Kill, Beretta, Shaken and Not Stirred. Did you know he saved the world from disaster 23 different times? 20 different movies, all had the same plot. Basically, there was this brilliant villain who was destined to destroy all humanity. But then James Bond came with all of his gadgets and with fast cars and faster women. And so we have seen whole generation of Ian Fleming's novels that came to life in living color. Superhero, James Bond. We have in our study today sort of an ancient superhero by the name of Samson. Samson means sunshine. It means brightness. What a wonderful name. Have you ever known anybody named Samson? No, no, no. Why not? Because we know something about his life. We know that he was a judge. If you've been reading through the Bible, you read through the book of Judges. Have you ever read a clearer account of the condition America's in today? What happened to the Israelites? They went into the promised land. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And all the Israelites said, yes. But then there's that tragic little verse. And there arose another generation that did not know the Lord or the things that God had done for his people. Joshua died, Caleb died, a whole generation died, and there came their sons and their daughters and their grandchildren, and they did not follow the Lord. Why? Their parents did not teach them. Their parents did not go with them to worship. Their parents did not build into their lives the basic fundamental principle of God that made the Israelites distinct from all the people on the earth. Another generation. And we see this now, the situation in Israel. We've looked at 12 judges, if you've read through this passage. And it seems like everyone gets a little worse than the one before. They were not judges in a courtroom. They were military leaders, men and women, moral leaders who tried to wake up God's people because what had happened? Remember God's instructions to Joshua? Wipe out all the ites. Don't let any of them survive. Drive them out of the land. And people say, oh my God, is such a, this can't be a true and living God to kill every one of them. Try to live with ISIS. Does anybody on the planet think that you and I or anybody else can live with ISIS people? Have you kept up? All these ites, they were just ISIS people, godless. The image of God had been burned out of them. Their souls were condemned. They had no hope, and they would contaminate and destroy any other people who came in contact with them. This is who inhabited the promised land. This reason God said you have to eliminate all of them, and the people of Israel did not do that. And now they're paying the price. What happened? Well, they did business with one another. Moabites, Jebusites, Canaanites, now the Philistines. You know, they're pretty good business people. And then they began to intermarry with one another. And finally, years go by. You couldn't tell the difference between someone who worshiped the god of Dagon or Jehovah. And they all sort of became one with syncretism. And they became one, and they said, you know, you have your God, and I have my God. And they said, we'll just live together, except it was the Philistines who dominated God's people with their godlessness. Introduce Samson. Well, is Samson such an important guy? Ladies and gentlemen, when four chapters and 96 verses are given over to the study of somebody, you can bet God's trying to get a message across to you and to me and to all who read his word. Four chapters, 96 verses. And let me start off and tell you without any doubt that Samson's number one problem, he was addicted to sex. He was addicted to sex. Talk to any secular our Christian psychotherapists who deals in counseling, they will tell you that between 90 and 95% of all the men and women and teenagers who sit before them desperate, all 90 to 95% their problem revolves one way or another around sex. Did you notice how quiet everybody gets? You talk about death. And you talk about sex from where I stand, and everybody gets real quiet. Samson was addicted to sensuality. Someone gave me a book, lent me a book a couple of days ago. I have not read it. But I have looked at the chapter titles, and they tell the whole story of Samson. The title of the book is The Samson Syndrome. And here are nine of the chapters of that book, which I have not read, but the chapters tell the story of Samson. Strong men tend to struggle with lust. Second chapter, strong men tend to break rules. Strong men tend to overestimate their cleverness. Strong men tend to repeat their mistakes. Strong men tend to have big egos. Strong men tend to have foolish risk. Strong men tend to struggle with intimacy. Strong men take too much for granted. Strong men tend to move away from God, tend to move away from God. This tells a story of Samson. As we study his life, we can look at his relationship with four females. With his mother, with his wife, with a harlot, and with Samson and? Oh, Samson and? David and? Oh, we've got it. Those four females will give us a good way to understand the life of Samson. First of all, Samson and his mother. Can anybody tell me his mother's name? Interesting. We don't know her name. Everybody gets an A+. But 13 times she's referred to in chapter 13 and a couple of verses in chapter 14 as Manoah's wife, Samson's mom, or the woman. 13 different times that we don't know her name. How like a godly mother. Doing so much behind the scenes, loving, coercing, helping, encouraging, disciplining, all the wonderful things that a godly mother, and they're not remembered because their personality is hidden, trying to build the stuff in the sons and daughters that God has given her. So we don't know her name except Manoah's wife. But look at the story here. Chapter 13. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Have we seen this picture before? And the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Man, we've heard that over and over again. Verse 2, there was a certain man of Zorah in the family of the Danites. His name was Manoah. Look at verse 3. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, Samson's mother, and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children. but you shall conceive and give birth. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Let me tell you something. That is unbelievable verses there. An angel said, you're going to have a boy, a promise. Then the angel gives instructions as to how that mother is to live as she carries the boy. Did you get that? You go to a gynecologist today and you're pregnant, the gynecologist would tell the woman exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing we read here thousands of years ago in the Bible. Don't drink any strong drink. Be careful what you eat. Gives instructions right here as to what she is to do. And more than that, this angel, who we discovered to be divine, in all probability a theophany, Jesus, and says simply, look, this boy is to be a Nazarite. What was a Nazarite? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Don't get a haircut. Don't touch dead bodies. Don't drink alcoholic beverages. In other words, your boy is to be a special property of God. You are to give him to God from his birth. And this is the kind of character and moral life he is called to live. Boy, right up front. And then on top of that, God tells this mother and her dad and his dad, Manoah, let me tell you something. He is to deliver Israel. He is to be the moral, spiritual, political leader of Israel. Tells them the purpose of his life right up front. Some of us wonder, he's straight trying to figure out how our children are bent. And this is instruction. Look at verse 8. Then Manoah, Samson's dad, entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you have sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. And then later on, he prays again in verse 12. Manoah said, now when your words come to pass, believe the promise. What shall be the boy's mode of life and vocation? What's he doing? Here is a father praying for a boy that had not yet been conceived, saying, God, tell me how he is bent, what his inclination will be. Tell me how to bring him up. Tell me how to love him. Tell me how to counsel him. Tell me how to mentor him. Right here in the Old Testament, we have principles we think, well, we figured out family life right here. No. Here it is right in the early stages of God's truth. How to be a dad, how to be a mother. And then they worship, they sacrifice right up front. Could you think of anybody having a better beginning than Samson? Remember, his name means sunshine. Boy, what a great name. Boy, have godly mother, godly father, already praying, already asking, already committing that son to the living Lord. What a great beginning he had. So we see his relationship with his mom was terrific. It was right on target. Then we see the relationship to his wife. Things begin to go downhill. Look at chapter 14. Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Latter part of verse 3, get her for me, for she's good looking. She's sexually appealing. Get her for me. Then again, move down. It says, verse 7, and he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. Samson saw this Philistine gal and said, man, she's a knockout. I've never seen anybody like that. That's who I want for my wife. Let me tell you something. You marry on the basis of just external appearance. And look out. Look out. Manoah, Samson's dad, said, is not there an Israeli girl who could attract you? It is not there. One of the Jewish girls. He was saying, you're marrying somebody who's going in a different direction, has a different world group, makes a decision about what's right and wrong in a totally different venue of what you've been taught. And let me tell you, he was saying, your marriage in the beginning has great, great difficulty. Let me tell you something. That's true today. Now, unequally yoked, sometimes it works out, but I can tell you most of the time it does not, because you've got two backgrounds, two cultures, two different gods entirely coming together and trying to be one. And that's one reason we have so many disastrous divorces, in which half of those here today married have been through a divorce. That's our culture, because somehow, some way, we married people who were going in another direction from the direction that we were taught and to go. That is the basic bottom line truth. I've experienced it in my own family, immediate family. So here we go. And they go down, the wedding is arranged. That's what parents did. And we see what happened. Samson goes down to the wedding party. By the way, you see the phrase here, went down, went down, went down. And you see the phrase, not knowing, not knowing, not knowing. When you go back and study this passage, you see, went down, not knowing, not knowing. And that is almost a symbol, a story of downhill. When we start down, we plead ignorance. We start down, we are ignorant. We start down, we always end up lower than we thought we were going to go. This is what happened to Samson. Not only the way he killed a lion, interesting. Later on, the marriage is set, and it's a seven-day celebration. And they start having parties, and so his bride and her family, the Philistines, they invited some young men to come, 30 young Philistine men to come and celebrate with them. And Samson, always been the life of the party, always been on top of things, he said, let's have a little wager.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:5. We admire people who persevere, don't we? What is even better than our perseverance is the fact that God perseveres. God sees things in you and in me that nobody else sees. He keeps on loving us. He keeps on believing in us. He sees what you can be, what I can be. He sees great possibilities in us. When you become a Christian, you don't get better and you don't need to try harder. When you become a Christian, you become a new creation, a new being, a new creature. God believes in you. Thank God for persevering in your life. And ask him to help you persevere in the lives of those others who have given up. Ask him to help you to see in them what nobody else but God can see.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young closes out his message and encourages you to trust God to help you break free from your addictions.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.